Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Listen with other, because grown-ups need story time too. The Mind Children by Giles Booth. Episode 1. Toxic Shock. Social media post, Gary Bucket, Generation Scared 1969.bsky.social. Name a TV show only you remember. Quote post, Bob Chandler, Bob Candles 1969.bsky.social. The Mind Children, HTV 1979. Literally no one I know remembers it. Reply from Dave Aston, Astonish 623.bsky.social. Hi Bob, not quite true, I remember it. Written and directed by Damon Allen, famously cancelled after 3 episodes. Long time no see, how you doing old bud? Reply from Bob Chandler. Dave Aston, as I live and breathe, I'm good. How the devil are you? Dave Aston is following you. Follow back. Direct message from Dave Aston. I'm good too, Bob. Funny enough, I've been thinking about the Mind Children a lot recently. I'm making a podcast about it. Maybe you should join me. Two middle-aged men talking crap about old TV. It's a bit genre-busting. Go on then. Give us a call on Zoom. Will do, Bob. I've been doing some research. There's almost nothing out there, so I think I'm onto something. 8 p.m. tonight, any good? Mrs. Aston will be out at her choir, so we can have a good old chinwag. Wikipedia entry, The Mind Children. The Mind Children is a British television science fiction television series created by Damon Allen. Produced by HTV for the ITV network, the series ran from 20th of July 1979 to the 3rd of August 1979. The theme music was written and performed by British composer Lee Sperry. Premise. Three teenagers appear one day in a village with no explanation. They look perfectly normal except for all having blue eyes which sometimes change colour to green. They can't explain anything about who they are or where they came from. The authorities don't know what to do with them and they are adopted by three different families in the village. It becomes apparent that the teenagers have exceptionally high intelligence and are telepathic. The three teenagers are, in fact, aliens sent to Earth in order to prevent it from being destroyed by environmental and political catastrophes. Although the three boys help fight injustices, there is a suggestion that they are saving the Earth for eventual alien colonization. Episodes 1. Toxic Shock. 2. The Playing Fields of England. 3. Framed. Cancellation. The series received poor reviews, critics complaining that its tone was unusually dark, even for children's TV shows of the period, and that it was too derivative of The Midwich Cuckoos by John Wyndham and its 1960 film adaptation, Village of the Damned. Only 3 episodes of the 6 originally made were broadcast on the ITV network on Fridays in July and August 1979, before its run was cut short by the ITV strike, which began on the 10th of August 1979 and lasted for 11 weeks. Production. The series was shot on videotape in HTV's Bristol studios and on location on 16mm film. The village of Stanton Mulltravers was used for the opening sequence, where the 3 alien boys are beamed down to the village green from an alien spaceship at dusk. Other locations in Somerset were used throughout the series. Availability. Writer and series producer Damon Allen was so annoyed by the poor reviews and flow of the series being interrupted by industrial action, it is believed he ordered the master tapes to be destroyed. Citation needed. It has never been repeated, nor released on home video or DVD. Rumours persist that film sequences may still exist and that pneumatic review copies of all 6 episodes may be held in private collections. Citation needed. Novelisation. To coincide with the original broadcast, Piccolo Books, in association with HTV, published a paperback novelisation of the first 3 stories as broadcast. Damon Allen ordered the book to be withdrawn soon after publication, and it has never been reissued. Second-hand copies are rare and command high prices. Wikipedia entry. Damon Allen. Wikipedia does not have an article with this exact name. Welcome to the first episode of Tea Time TV Retro Machine. I'm Dave. And I'm Bob. Every week we'll be picking over a TV show from our youth. The more spooky and forgotten, the better. So, Bob, what show are we looking at this week?
We're looking at a show that's very dear to our hearts
and very forgotten.
The Mind Children.
On the socials, we often talk about TV shows nobody else remembers but me, but The Mind Children really did get forgotten. That's right, Dave. The Mind Children was an HTV kids drama show, shown at tea time on the ITV network in the late summer of 1979, except for Westwood Television. They didn't take it. They're lost, Dave. The show, if it's famous for anything, is famous because it was cancelled after just 3 episodes. No copies remain. It's not on YouTube, but it wasn't cancelled in the modern sense. It wasn't even cancelled because it had poor ratings. No, it was cancelled by the ITV strike. That's right, Bob. In August 1979, the whole ITV network went dark for 11 weeks due to industrial action. Only 3 episodes of The Mind Children had been shown, although it's believed a whole series of 6 had been made. Its writer and director, Damon Allen, was so angered by this, legend has it, he ordered every copy to be destroyed, and the remaining 3 episodes were never shown. So what do we know about this show, Dave? Draw up a space hopper, Bob, and I'll tell you. For
first, we should say why the show is so special to us. It's not just that we remember it when no one else does, or that we were obsessed by it even before it was cancelled. No, it's special because the title sequence was filmed in our village, Stanton Mulltravers, which, if you've not heard of it, is slap bang in the middle of Somerset. Though in the show they call the village Compton Magna, of course. So the show was a big deal in our village school. Loads of us watched the filming of the title sequence back in May on the village green, when the mind children of the title, telepathic invaders with a heart of gold, are beamed down from a spaceship at dusk. Not that we saw any spaceships, mind, just a lot of smoke bombs and lights. It was a big deal back then, your village being on the telly. So when the show came out, we were hooked. And we played the mind children all the time. We pretended to be them at playtime and after school every day, solving mysteries and righting wrongs around our village. So what else do we know about the show, Dave? I've been doing quite a lot of digging. Let's just say I've had some very promising leads, Bob. More on that in later episodes. But this week, I have a treat. What's that? I have a very rare copy of the TV tie-in Mind Children book. What? That's right, Bob. Go on eBay and one of these babies will set you back. Well, you won't currently find one. Last one was sold about 10 years ago, went for 120 quid. Did you buy it? No, this is my original copy. Well, it's not quite your original copy, is it, Dave? What do you mean? It was mine. I lent it to you. You never. I did. We swapped it fair and square. I gave you a looking annual. I don't think so. Bob and I have only just got back in touch last week after 40 years. Can you believe it? Can I have it back? You can borrow it. I'll swap you. How about this looking annual? It's got Sid James on the cover.
Is B2B becoming a PITA? Are you struggling to keep track of your customers and clients? You need Flange CRM. Flange is the only CRM using agentic AI. So visit flangecrm.ai today and ask one of our agents to give one of your agents a call.
Welcome back to Tea Time TV Retro Machine. Bob, can I just say your trousers are looking exceptional today? Why, thank you, Dave. I got these from pantaloonsir.com. Pantaloonsir.com's virtual tailor will run you up a bespoke pair of drain pipes or bell bottoms in no time. And you can use the code TeaTimeTVRetroMachine26 to claim free delivery. Amazing. I must get myself a pair of chinos in time for summer. Now, what have we got lined up in the rest of the show, Dave? We're peeking inside our copy of the Mind Children book, Bob. The very first story, Toxic Shock, which, as I recall, was pretty close to what I remember of the show. That's right. Are you sitting comfortably?
Yep.
Then I'll begin.
The Mind Children by Damon Allen. 1. Toxic Shock. Stevie was trouble, Mike's mum said. Stevie came from the council estate on the far side of the village. Stevie's mum did not live with his dad. Stevie was not like us. But Mike was bored in the long summer holidays. All his friends seemed to be away on long foreign holidays while he was stuck in boring old Compton Magna. Stevie, on the other hand, was always hanging around the village. It started as a dare. Penhaligon House was the largest house in the village, a large early Victorian grey structure. A local factory owner lived there with his family. Despite being really rich, his daughter Tanya went to the local school. She was in the same class as Stevie and Mike, so they knew two things: that Tanya had a swimming pool in her back garden, and her family were away in France for the whole summer. The summer was so long and so very hot, the temptation became too much, even for Mike to bear. They decided to sneak into the garden one evening and use the pool. Stevie brought cans of Top Deck Shandy and Count Dracula ice lollies that made your tongue go black. He said he'd nicked them from the village shop.
Mike and Stevie were splashing around and getting noisier as they grew more confident about not getting caught. Mike was blinded by the setting sun between the tall poplars at the end of the huge garden. Stevie took advantage and ducked Mike under the water and held him there. Mike desperately tried to get free. He saw stars as he panicked and felt he was about to die when Stevie released him. Mike burst into the surface of the water, hungrily gulped the breath of air he thought he'd never taste again, and was blinded by a light. But it was not the light of the sun. Joanne was helping her mum fold the washing in the back garden of their bungalow. Dad was working away again. He often did long trips working as a rep for the factory. Sometimes he phoned home. Usually he didn't. Mum was grateful for her help, she knew. "Where would I be without my little helper, my little Jojo?" she would say, usually after a couple of glasses of her special drink. "Good job we got this washing in, Jojo. It's gone really dark quickly. I think it's going to rain," said Joanne's mum. They carried bundles of clothes and sheets back into the kitchen. Then the whole sky lit up. "Must be the setting sun," said Mum. But the setting sun wasn't usually green, was it? Thought Joanne. Nikki, Sam and Peter knew they weren't supposed to be using the cricket pitch on the village green, but that was part of the thrill. They waited until sunset, stashed their chopper bikes behind the pavilion and had their own game of cricket on the sacred turf. If Mr. Hoddinott caught them, they'd be hell to pay, but they played on. Nicky hit the best shot of his life and cried six when the sky turned black and a freezing wind swept around the three boys. A blinding shaft of green light came down right over their heads. Terrified, they scattered in three different directions, running for their three different mothers, leaving their bikes behind. Matthew, Mark and Luke stood on the crease, though they did not yet know that was what it was called. They did not even know that Matthew, Mark and Luke were their names. They looked at each other, nodded and smiled. "You have chosen well," said Matthew without moving his lips. "I thank you," replied Mark. "We'll create a strong foothold here," said Luke. The green light had gone and the sky lightened. The last rays of sunlight flickered through the trees. "Hey, you there, you can't be on there," yelled Mr. Hoddinott, running towards them from his cottage. The three alien visitors nodded in unison. Their blue eyes flashed green. And Mr. Hoddinott found himself slowing down. And his anger towards the trespassers melted away. Wow. Mind you, it all sounds a bit on the nose now, doesn't it? Chopper bikes and Count Dracula lollies. All that's missing is a packet of Spangles. Oh, don't worry, there's Spangles in the next chapter, Bob. Another thing that seems odd now is that the aliens were all boys. I mean, that's a bit weird, even for 1979. I'm sure most kids' shows had boys and girls as main characters to broaden their appeal. The only girls or women there are getting the bloody washing in. And the swimming pool scene. God, yes. Probably just as well now the show has not survived, because, as I recall, it seemed like in every episode, kids, boys mostly, went swimming in pools or the river in very brief trunks. Yeah, you're right. It does seem a bit odd now, doesn't it? Very. Have you done any more digging, Dave? Any leads on what happened to Damon Allen? He's a Google black hole. Getting there, Bob. I'm getting there. I think I'll have something to share next week. Now, let's talk about the rest of that first episode, Toxic Shock. Sure thing, Dave. It's actually a pretty good first episode, as well as introducing the Mind Children, setting up how they get adopted by three families in the village. There's also an actual mystery to solve. That's right. Kids have been paddling in the river. It's dried up a bit in the hot summer. It's too shallow to swim in. But they've been falling ill and getting strange rashes on their skin. The mine children use their telepathic powers to probe the minds of the adults in the village. And they discover the culprit. The local plastics factory, owned by the guy whose house has a swimming pool, had been dumping toxic waste into the river to save money on proper treatment. And the mine children, they bust that thing wide open. The owner denies all knowledge, of course. He tries to pin the blame on the foreman. There's a local council meeting about it. The mine children are hiding in the room and they use their powers of mind control to make him come clean in more ways than one. I used to love that effect when their eyes pulsate blue and green with some really shoddy chroma key effect. The whole thing, though, it's really ambiguous. We know the mine children care about the environment, but we're left wondering if it's only because they want it to be protected for when their alien race colonises it. It's also got an unusually nasty streak, Bob, even for the time. That swimming pool scene at the start, Stevie's trying to drown Mike. Well, it's like a public information film waiting to happen. And there are little touches here and there that just don't feel quite right in a Tea Time Kids show. The idea that Joanne's dad is playing away and her mum's an alcoholic. Yeah, I recall that part of the thrill of watching it was that tone, though. It felt like it was grown-up telly. You shouldn't be watching it. It was more like an ATV thriller than a kids show, even a spooky one. Exactly, it was just like an ATV thriller. It was all a bit seedy, despite being set in a picture postcard Somerset village. Strange goings on behind picket fences, positively Lynchian. I wouldn't go that far, Bob. No severed ears, no owls, but there was a demon headmaster. Oh God, yes, we'll be looking at that next week when we delve into episode 2 of The Mine Children, The Playing Fields of England. In the meantime, be weird out there. That was episode 1 of The Mine Children. It was written, read and mixed by Giles Booth, with original music by the British composer Lee Sperry. Tune in next time when Bob and Dave delve into the second Mine Children episode about evil goings-on in a nearby boarding school. Listen With Other is a GSB Radio Enterprises production. Do you ever hear from Terry's parents? Nah, lost touch. I think they got divorced. That often happens, doesn't it? Yeah, I guess so. Grief. It's a bugger.